you would, turn with me. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, and unto you the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy, my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Lord, we ask you to touch and bless here today. We thank you, God, for your word, which is true, which is faithful. God, we ask you to bless every heart, anoint your servant to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning. Whatever situation you need help in, God can help. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a building. God can help. Amen. You believe that this morning? I like that verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? It doesn't say, have I not made a suggestion? Come on. Have I not commanded thee? Folks, he commands us. God commands us to be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now here, we are children of the King. He doesn't want us to walk around and be afraid. He wants us to have courage. Amen. He doesn't want us to, to be dismayed and, you know, in other words, bewildered. What should I do today? When you have children, you want them to grow up and be strong and you want them to be successful. And all. That's what God wants from his people. So I ask you today, what keeps you going? What is your motivation to keep doing what you are doing? You see, Joshua, his motivation was to know that God was going to keep his promises. You see, Joshua followed Moses' footsteps. He followed Moses as Moses was God's servant. And he was God's servant. Joshua was God's servant. Now, can you imagine how that felt? You see, Moses was there when God delivered the plagues. Moses was there when God parted the Red Sea. Moses spoke to a rock and the Bible says water came out. Moses had began the mission, folks, of leading the children of Israel to the promised land. But he died before he got there. And after Moses' death, the Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, and the Lord told Joshua this, he said he was going to take over. Joshua, you're going to take over leading the children of Israel to the promised land. And this was no easy task. But you see what the Lord told Joshua? He told him that he was going to be with him just like he was with Moses. He told him that wherever he walked, that he would give that land to them. He told him that nobody would be able to stand up against him. And when you read in 7 through 8, the Lord gave Joshua, folks, the key to being successful in the mission. He said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, and thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." This book, what book is he talking about? The Word of God, amen, the Bible. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." I like what the Lord is saying here, don't you? Amen. And then in verse 9, he wraps it all up by saying, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You see, he let Joshua know, folks, and he's letting us know today, amen, that if we would stay in the way that he would be, had been taught to him, if he would stay true to the Lord in all of the things, if he would make sure that he kept his eyes on the truth and not veer off the track, then, see, we like the promises of God, but we got to understand they don't just come just doing whatever we want. We have to do something, amen. He said, if you'll keep these in your mouth and meditate on them day and night and live according to them, then I'll bless you. Then the Lord said he would be with him wherever he went. And that he didn't have to be afraid of anyone or anything. That's a great promise. What kept Joshua going after the death of Moses was God's promises. Amen. And that ought to keep us going every day. Help in every situation. Whatever you have a need in, God wants to help you in it. Are there needs here today? I'm sure there's needs in this house today. Amen. So whatever your need is, God wants to help you. And throughout this lesson, I want you to do something. I want you to begin to seek the Lord for whatever you need help with. As I'm teaching you today, I want you to meditate on the things of God, hear the word that is coming forth, but amen, claim it in whatever area you need help in. Begin, folks, begin today to believe that God is going to help you. Can you do that today? Amen. Hallelujah. See, Joshua was on a mission to get to the promised land. Are you on a mission today? Are you on a mission to make heaven your home? And he had a promise that the Lord would go with him and help him all the way, the whole way through. No matter where he was, what he was facing, he had a promise from God. And every one of us have that same promise today. Now, I'm trying to make it to the promised land, aren't you? And I hope that you are. Amen. And if we keep God's commandments and we stay in the ways of God, folks, he will be there to help us the whole way through. I need his help. I need his help, don't you? I face things all the time. And a lot of these things are hard to handle on my own. And I'm sure it is with each and every one of us here. And I'm glad to know, folks, that he is a help in every situation. Amen. Example of how it is hard to find good help, folks. Ask Brother Carl to tell you some stories. I won't tell what you told me last week, all right? He's got people quitting because they got their stimmy checks. It's hard to find good help, right? At the bank, it's hard to find good help, right? Hard to find it. Anybody else, any other bosses around here, brother? Hard to find good help, right? People don't want to work. Think about it. People, you can't depend on them. You know what drives me crazy is when you go through a drive-thru and you tell them what you want, and you look in the bag and there's three different things that weren't supposed to be there. Or you didn't get something, period. You got to drive back around. It's hard to get good help. It just makes me mad. I always say, incompetence. I can't stand incompetence. And it's hard to get people to do a good job. But God is dependable. I want you to know this. In a day and age where it's hard to find good help, you can find help in your God. He is dependable. Amen. You can count on Him. Praise the Lord. He's able to do the job. He's dependable. And He will get the job done if we let Him. Now here's the other side. How dependable are you? Amen. Amen. And that's, you know, that's why we teach folks that in your world, in your job world, you need to be dependable. The boss needs to know he can count on you. Don't miss work just to be missing work. Here, you know, I always told my boys this. I said, they when they first started working, they want to take off. I said, are you really sick? Well, I just don't feel like going in. I said, well, what you need to do is learn that you need to save those days. You don't just take them and spend them. Amen. If there's going to come a day you might need it. And if you were one of those sloppy workers, they couldn't count on it. Then when that day comes that you need that extra time, they're not going to be happy about giving it to you. But if they can always count on you and they know you're always there and you need a few days, they know you must really be sick. Come on. I was rough on my boys, I'll tell you. I wanted to teach them a good work ethic. Folks, as apostolics, you need to have a good work ethic. I'm telling you. In everything you do, you need to be an example of Jesus Christ. You need to work that job as unto the Lord. Come on. Amen. That was free. Okay, that's free. But God is dependable. He is a help that won't let you down, folks. The story of David, when he went down out to face the giant Goliath, it's a prime example of the dependability of God. David was a youth. All you young people, keep that in mind. David was a youth, and he volunteered to fight a champion, 9 feet tall, a giant wearing tons of armor. And do you know why David didn't want that earthly armor that was offered to him by Saul? Saul said, here. Saul didn't really want him to go out there. He said, well, at least if you're going to go out there, wear my armor. And Saul was a big man. And David, keep in mind, he was a youth. And he took his armor off and I could just see it. He plopped that on David and David went boom. And he could probably hardly move, you know. And he handed him the sword and like his hand went boom. Okay? You know, as little kids, you try dad's suit on or it's all big over you and you, right? Well, here's Saul. He's giving David his armor. David didn't want it. Because the Bible says that David had not proved it. In other words, he had never worn that armor in battle before. That armor had not proved to be dependable to David. And whenever you are about to face a giant, don't you want something that's dependable? Huh? But he had positive proof, David did, that the help of the Lord was dependable. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Roberts? Here's what David told Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. The Lord, I'm talking about dependability, okay? The Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of a lion. Now, you know, when we read this and we're thinking of David facing this giant, when he says, the Lord delivered me from a lion, compared to when we think of the giant, we're like, oh, that's nothing. Anybody here want to fight a lion? I didn't think so. It goes here. It goes on, and the paw of the bear. Is there anybody here that would run if you were camping and a bear come to get your food? You'd give him your hot dogs, wouldn't you? Okay, compared to a giant, maybe not, but none of us want to face it. And he says, and the Lord delivered me out of the paw of a lion, out of the paw of a bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. All right, here, folks, you know, there's a lot of help books and a lot of things out there that people say you need to read this, read that, and they're all good. Chew up the meat, spit out the bones, that kind of stuff, okay? Use it, whatever you can. But let me tell you something, when you're facing the problems and trial in your life, folks, you need to go to the one that you can depend upon. Amen. David said, look, hey, Saul, thank you for your armor here, but you can have this stuff. It didn't help me before, but I know what did help me, and that was God. God delivered me from the lion. He delivered me from the bear. He'll deliver me from this Philistine. You see, he had tried the Lord before. It worked then. It'll work now. Amen. Maybe not the same situation, but it's a situation, and he's still faithful. He knew that the Lord was dependable. And David grabbed 5 little smooth stones, the Bible says, and he went out to the battle, and he said this to the Philistine in 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. David took out one of these stones, and he slung that stone at the giant. Amen. And faith, I believe, folks, I believe it was faith, every bit of faith, when he put that in that slingshot, and when he let that go, faith took a hold of that rock, and it slammed that rock into the forehead of that giant. Amen. And when the giant fell down, David ran over and took the sword out of his, Sith, and he cut off his head. Come on. Out of all of this armor, one spot, and that's where that rock went. Amen. Such a convincing win that all of the other Philistines that were looking on, the Bible says, took off running. Amen. It wasn't David fighting, it wasn't his fighting ability, folks. It was the dependable power of a God that slew the giant. Think about that, folks. It's not how great a prayer warrior you are. Amen. It's not how much you read the word. It's not how much faith, how faithful you are. That all stuff helps. And don't take me wrong here today. But folks, it's what you believe your God is able to do. Amen. Is your God dependable? Was he dependable yesterday, today, and forever? That's what the Bible tells me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is dependable. You believe that today? He is dependable. He said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. That's what God promised to you. God promises not to leave you in the battle by yourself. God said he will not leave you to fight the giant in your life by yourself. He will be there. He'll never come with too little. He'll never come too late. He'll be there whenever you need, and he'll be there on time. Now, it may not be your time schedule, but God is never late. He's always on time. Come on. He likes to prove your faith. You know? Couple hours beforehand, when your deadline's up, he ain't gonna show up. Well, there's your faith. You gotta believe up till there's nothing left. You gotta believe it. Now listen, he's not only dependable, but he's able to do the job. Come on. When I say he's able to do the job, what I mean, he's completely capable of helping you with whatever you have need of in your life. Now, I didn't stumble there. I didn't stutter, folks. I said, with whatever you have need of in your life. I'm talking about somebody who just thinks or says they can do the job. I'm not talking about that type of person. But Philippians 4:19 says this, but my God shall supply all, not some, but all your needs, what? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, there are riches untold in heaven. Amen? Come on, folks. He makes the roads out of gold. I'm talking about untold riches, amen? He is able, and I'm talking about someone with a proven track record, amen? While Jesus was here on earth, he went about, the Bible says, preaching the truth and performing many works. More than once, he raised the dead. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He made the deaf to hear, hallelujah. He made the dumb to talk. He delivered many from devils, amen? He healed the crippled. He healed the blood problems. Whatever it was, he did it. Not only did he heal, and not only did he deliver, he provided. Hallelujah. He fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And they were all filled, the Bible says. And they took up the leftovers, and there were 12 basketfuls left over. You see, he sent money to Peter in the mouth of a fish. The list goes on and on, folks. I don't think he was only that powerful back then. He's still the same today. He's still the same God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. If he did it then, he'll do it now. Come on, do you believe that with me today? Hallelujah. Is there apostolics in this house that are awake and say, God, you are faithful? He's able. Folks, he is able. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, ye little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is Jesus? Who's in you? Who's in you today, folks? Jesus Christ, I pray, is in you. If he's not in you today, you can have him today, folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who is in this world? The devil is the ruler of this world. You can read about that in Mark 1, Mark 5, Mark 9, and many more scriptures show us. Folks, these scriptures show us here in Mark 1, 5, and 9. They show us examples of Jesus casting out devils out of people. The devil can't stay around when the Lord is there. Amen. Did you know, folks, that the devil can't do anything to you without getting permission from your God? Come on. That's true. He can't do anything without getting permission from your God. You say, well, why does God let him? If you're living upright, if you're trusting in the Lord for your help, the devil can't touch you without permission from the Lord. In Job 1:1-10, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared the Lord God and eschewed evil. Anybody here live up to that standard? I pray you do. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one of his day, and set and called for these 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He did sacrifices just in case his sons sinned. Now there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro from the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? The Lord brought this up, folks. In other words, he's bragging.
Yeah.
You looked at Job. He's mine. Anybody here think the Lord brags on you? Do you give him a reason to brag on you? Have you considered my servant Emily? Huh? Come on. Think about it. And the Lord said to him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" Listen to this. "A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" Listen to that, folks. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" If God made a hedge around Job, he's got a hedge around you. Okay? A hedge. That's kind of like the, it's a shrubbery fence. Or some type of a fence. "Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." There is a hedge about you whenever you trust in the Lord. And unless the Lord gives the enemy permission, he cannot come near you. And if he does allow the devil to try you, he's got the power to make the devil stop whenever he gets ready to make him stop. Okay? You see, there, that's the power my God has over the enemy. He is able, folks. The devil cannot withstand God's power because God is able. Jesus is able. And are you convinced that God is able to help you today? Now, see, I believe that God was, you know, looking to see. He believed that the devil could come against, he could let the devil come against Job, and Job would still live for him. So when things come your way sometimes, think about that. God is wanting to see if I'll still live for him, even though I got problems. Now, we know that God knows that we live for him when things are going good. Woo, God's great, man, he's blessing. Woo, woo, woo. But what about when your lip's dragging? Because you're aggravated, you're frustrated, problems come around, and nobody likes problems. Anybody here like problems? I didn't think so. But God is still faithful, even in the midst of your problems. You see, well, why does God do that? Well, like I said, it's easy to live for God when things are going good. The devil said, Does Job serve me for naught? So the devil understands that, folks, that if, listen, let me tell you something. If everybody understood that God, how much God really blesses you, this place, we couldn't have enough room in here. Come on. So, you know, it's kind of like a husband and wife. And then the vows say for better or for worse. Do we have a cap on worse? We don't on better. Do we have a cap on worse? Must be, because there's a 50% divorce rate. And maybe God wants to see where your cap is on worse. When you come up here and you pray and God gives you the Holy Ghost and you say, "God, you're great, you're awesome," and then a problem comes along and says, "I'm done with you, buddy. I don't need this stuff." Right? Is that how we're going to do God when problems come our way? You see, folks, anything that's worth any value takes hard work. Diamonds, how do diamonds come? Anybody know? How does a diamond come about? Pressure. It's an old lump of coal, right? But when that pressure gets on it, it becomes a beautiful diamond. How about that gold band you got, anybody? It takes a lot of heat to get that impurities out of that gold to make it worth anything. I mean, you don't want to wear a band with things sticking out of it, right? What's that ugly looking thing? How'd that work out of there? Anything. If you're a sports player, you don't just hop out there on a field. You do a lot of work to get to that. There's very few that end up on these pro fields compared to everybody else in the world. It takes something of effort. And God wants to help us to grow in Him. And He wants to get some impurities out of us. And He wants to help you to be a better person. You see, the Bible is talking how great Job was. Say, there's nobody like him in the land. Nobody wealthier than Job in the East. But when God was done allowing the enemy to do what he did, Job was a better person. He was far richer. You know, God blessed him with more children. He was tremendously blessed after this event. I ask you, are you convinced that God is able to help you? You know, He knows how to help. God knows how to help. He has a perfect plan for your salvation. That's where trust comes in. You know what? I don't like this that I'm going through. I don't like this situation, but I know God knows what He's doing. Amen. And I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him. He is going to see me through because I plan on making it through. Let come what may, I'm going to serve Him. You see, He don't need to tell you. He don't need you to tell God how to do it. We like to be a little bossy sometimes. Well, God, here's what you need to do in this situation. God don't need that from you. He knows how to help. Amen. Well, God doesn't need us to tell Him what should happen first. He knows what's best. He knows the best way to help you. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows exactly what He's doing. All He needs from you is to continue to believe and trust in Him and be faithful to Him. That's all God needs from you. He knows how, folks. You don't have to tell God how to help you. Did you know that God knows everything about you and your life? In Psalms 139 verse 1 through 6, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Hallelujah, folks. He understands you better than you understand yourself. He knows your situation better than you know your situation. He knows what you are going through. He knows what you are thinking. He knows what you are feeling. And He is, folks, He is an expert on you. Don't ever forget that. He is an expert on you. Who better to help you than an expert? Come on. Do you take your car to a plumber to get it fixed? Huh? Or vice versa? Come on. You know, we live in that day and age where everybody's expert in something. Years ago, man, a guy could go build a house. He knew he did everything there. But now it's all you got your roofers, you got your plumbers, you got your carpenters, you got your trim carpenters, you got your carpet layers, you got your electricians, right? Electricians. Everybody's an expert in this and that. Who better than an expert to fix you? Come on, He's an expert on you. Do you believe that today? God is an expert on you. Say it right now. He's an expert on me. Come on. Jesus Christ made you, and He knows everything about you, and He knows how to help you with your needs. Are you convinced, folks, that He knows how to help you? That's what we have to believe. Amen. When we need help, we need to go to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you convinced that He knows how to help you? So we've seen, folks, that Jesus is a help that you can depend on. We've seen that Jesus is very well able to handle your needs. We've seen that He knows how to help you, folks. But is He really willing to help you with your needs? Well, let me tell you who that depends on. You. All right, I'll say all this again. Listen. So we've seen that Jesus is a help that you can depend on. We've seen that Jesus is very well able to handle your needs. We've seen that He knows how to help you. But is He really willing to help you with your needs? It depends on you. Let me read that. Psalms 37, 39 through 40. But the salvation of the righteous is the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. That's what God wants from you. You have to trust in Him. You have to believe in Him. You have to ask Him. Because they trust in Him, folks. Your help depends on if you trust in Him. Did you know that God doesn't move according to your need? Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Isn't that what you're talking about this morning? He doesn't care about your need. He cares about your faith. Amen? Attached to the works that Jesus did, you see somebody with faith. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and with faith, it didn't say with the need, it says, and with faith touched the hem of His garment. She believed, folks, that she had a need and she could touch Him. Here, God, here's my need. No, she says, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. I've been trying for 12 years to get rid of this. She's with the doctor. The Bible says she spent everything she had going to doctors and getting trying and probably different friends. Here, try this remedy and all this kind of stuff. For 12 years, she worked on trying to get rid of that issue of blood. And she heard about Jesus. She said, man, I want to meet this guy. And one day she heard He was coming to town. And she said, she looked and she saw all these people around Him. And she thought, oh my goodness, if I can just get in there and just touch the hem of His garment. That's all I need. It was the faith that made the difference. When Jesus felt that virtue go out of Him, He didn't say, what need touched me? Who touched me? It was the faith that made the difference. She believed that if she could just touch Jesus, she'd be all right. In Mark 9, the man whose son was possessed came and asked Jesus for help. And Jesus told him this. In Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. To him that believeth. Not to him who has the need. There were others that had needs. Look at the story of the three Hebrew children, folks. The king had been convinced of the power of God. And I want you to look, folks, at what he said to them. Now, you wonder why, you know, why, Pastor, are you telling us that God gives permission to the enemy to do this or do that in my life? Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent this his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Did he say that before they went in the fire? No, he said that when they came out of the fire. He said that when they came out of their problem. He said that when they came out of their sickness. He said that when they came out of their diseases. He came out. He said that when they came out of their financial situations or whatever situation it is. You put a situation there, folks. But these three Hebrew children stood up for what they believed. There was persecution in their life. I don't care what comes your way, be it sickness, amen, be it health issues, folks, or financial problems, or marital problems. You put it in there because that's what is going to show people how great your God is. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Blessed be that God. Amen, folks. God allows things to come in your life. Amen. Not because he's a mean God, because he's a God that wants to use you. He's a God that wants to make you better than you were before. Hallelujah. He wants to speak to somebody through your situation in your ministry world, folks. God wants to use you to reach somebody. But the problem is sometimes we find ourselves grumbling because we have to go through this situation. And God can't reach out to somebody. They trusted him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God. And he blessed them. He delivered them. Even King Nebuchadnezzar believed, folks. Amen. The king that had set out to harm them. Come on. This is the king that did this. He sent out to harm them. They couldn't deny that there was no other God that could ever deliver like that. You see, here's a message and a message for you today, folks. Your unwavering faith in the midst of a trial can convince others of the power of your God. Amen. If I told you, folks, there was help right inside this door over here. But you wouldn't go over and open that door. You would never see the help that is there. Come on. You're talking to people. You're telling people that God is able to touch their marriage. You're telling people that God is able to heal them. Whatever the situation is that you're talking to people for, folks, if they don't ever see the situation, they're never going to receive it. Just like I said, if you walk through that door, your help is right there. But if you don't go through the door, you're never going to experience it. And, you know, you've heard me say this many times. Sometimes you're the only Bible some people ever read. And if they don't see you go through things and see your God deliver you, in other words, walking through the door, how are they ever going to be convinced that your God can do what you said he can? See why things God allows some of these things in our life? It's not only for that other person. It's to help you to be a better person. Right? And there's many times, folks, we go through something and it's made us a better person. You say, you know, I didn't like it at the time, but I'm a better person for it. Come on. How many mothers we have here this morning? Anybody else a mother? It wasn't easy giving that baby. I don't know. I just see what I saw, but I didn't really feel it. Right, bro? But wasn't it worth it? The first one, some of them even crazy enough to have more. Huh? You see, folks, we go through things. And when you come through it and you see you're better off than you were before, that was, but you know what really makes it worth it? That person that you witnessed and watched your life, watched your example. See, that's part of those birthing pains. Bible says we have to travail. When we travail, Amen. That's when children come forth. Are you willing to trust in Him? Faith, hear me, is the key that unlocks the door. Are you willing to trust Him today? 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over all the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I can just picture the Lord up in heaven, watching every move that we make. And His ears are just waiting to hear one of us call out for Him. Have you ever seen an old dog laying around? And a noise comes and her ear goes, bloop. Huh? I'm not saying God's a dog or anything like that, but His ears are always attentive. His ears are always listening, just like that parent. You know, I'll tell you what, I was a hard sleeper until those kids come along. Boom, man, I hear a little, wee, and I'm up. You know, you make yourself get that way. Folks, everything is real quiet. We say, God! He said, yes. I'm here. He heard something. It'll catch His attention. I believe that's how the Lord is, folks. He's listening. He's always there. He's always attentive. I believe He gets His attention when we holler out for His name. Amen. Hey, He's not too busy to give you attention today, folks. He is omnipotent God, meaning He can be everywhere all the time. You don't have to worry about calling on Him, folks, and Him being too busy for you. You don't have to worry about that. He's watching. He knows what's going on in your life. He's just waiting on you to call on Him. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him right now. Hallelujah. Let's stand here today. I wonder if there's anybody here needs help with something today. Don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. I don't care what your need is here today, folks. I believe there's some that aren't feeling well here today. You need to let God bless you. Come on. Somebody may be really frustrated here today. You need to let God help you. This altar is open. Don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. He doesn't want you to allow God to touch you. He doesn't want you to allow God to be there for you. I'm telling you today, the Lord will take care of it. Whatever your situation is, before you leave this building, if you will let Him. Are you facing a giant in your life? Is there something you need help with today? I wish you'd come and give it to God. I wish you'd give it to God today. He's watching everything that is going on. And He's just waiting to hear you call His name today. Anything, folks. He can help you with anything. Are you having family problems? He can help you. Are you having money problems? He can help you. Are you having job problems? He can help you. Are you having physical problems, sickness? He can help you. What about depression? What about discouragement today? God can help you. There is help waiting on you.